Looks like we're live.
You're live.
There we go. Good morning, everybody. We're coming to you live right here from inside the main build facility at Bubba's Exotic Motorsports on the Woodward Fabrication Table. My name's Tom, and we all know the master coming in offset right here. Bub, good morning, Bub. How are we doing today?
Hey, man, doing really good so far. I have actually been cranking here. As everybody knows, we are closed all the way through Tuesday, which doesn't seem to ever work out here around BEM. We set a schedule. We never stick to it. That's the way things roll around here. So sure. We are supposed to be closed until Tuesday, the day after New Year's. So that hasn't happened.
This episode is brought to you by Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. That's bubbasexoticmotorsports.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I apologize. We have been promoting our 19,000 online products from Borla Exhaust, Nitto Tire, American Racing, Watson Racing, all of the big names, Steeda Autosports, all the big names. We found out there are some glitches. They are working that problem through. Right now, we've been in conference calls all morning this morning with them. Miss Outlaw Boutique, that is MS Outlaw Boutique. Miss Outlaw Boutique for the finest in boutique fashion, apparel, and accessories, 561-660-6695. Bub, we came back last night. The Bubba's Exotic Motorsports SEMA 17, 603 horsepower stock block EcoBoost was photographed for the magazines. Let's share with everybody kind of how that went.
Yeah, man, it turned out awesome. You know, we got back here last night about 4, and let me tell you, the photographer that was here doing it did a sick
really nice job.
I mean, everything from the creative design, what he saw from an imagery standpoint in his head, to the position, the angles, even the filters, the color tones that he was using on his camera with the, you know, multi lenses that he had going, the adapters. Man, it just made that car truly show as to the quality of what it really is, because it is a very hard car, as he was even saying, really hard car to shoot because it is such a deep black color. Mm-hmm. Black is always really hard to shoot. If you try to put lighting to black, all you get is the color of the lighting because it's just so reflective. So it is a very tricky color to shoot. Last night, thankfully, we were like spot on with the weather, beautiful weather, spot on with the natural lighting that was going on outside.
Right on.
We did it out front of the main facility, so you guys will have to stay tuned to see where those photos are going to show up.
It's going to be pretty interesting, but Monster Energy is Monster done, is Energy done Bubba style. We have red, white, and blue here. Can't forget those guys. Bub, we're going to talk a little bit about transmissions. These can be very technical. A lot of people don't know, Bub, that you actually cut your teeth in a muffler shop and then went on to work at an Amoco for a short period of time before you even had a work permit. So you began understanding these things, the complexity of these things, mm-hmm. in a very early age. But at its basic level, what is a transmission?
Okay, so your transmission in a basic level takes the power that your engine generates, your motor generates, and gets it down to the drive wheels. So that whether that be a front wheel drive, a rear wheel drive, an all wheel drive, this literally transmits the power to one of those drive axles or wheels.
So the transmission transmits the power from the motor, which bolts right here. This is what we call what, Bub, this area?
So that's
here.
Actually your what you'd consider this portion, the forward portion of this would be considered your bell housing from your main case. This is not separated. This is a one piece, so this would technically be your bell housing. This is where the engine block mates to the front side of this, where this piece of wood is mounted from the shipping container.
So, Bub, when you bolt this up to the back of the motor, it is bolted by, let me move this out of our way here and we'll show everybody, it is bolted to the back of the transmission, or what is this piece we have right here that weighs about 80 pounds?
So that is actually the torque converter itself. These things come in all different sizes, shapes, models, flashes, stalls. There are many different words, terminology used for them, but the... Was that a struggle? What happened right there?
It's very heavy, isn't it, Bob?
So I'll tell you what, man. This thing is a serious setup that he's holding right now. You can see it's billet aluminum, the mounting plates on it. The transmission is severely upgraded. This one itself is rated to over 2,500 horsepower. This thing is a full touchscreen setup, so you can literally set this thing to do exactly what your car wants to do if you are running a standalone transmission control module, and that is exactly what we have in this CompuShift box here as well. But these things are super, super nasty, man. You can set them so they are mild. You can set them so they are insane. You can make them so they are smooth. You can make them so they're super hard. Anything and everything you could possibly imagine can all be done right here at your fingertips, literally with the handheld controllers.
So, Bub, you call this a CompuShift right here. I had to move the box. I didn't want people to miss it. You call this a CompuShift, okay? Mm-hmm. In its standard form, this just basically bolts up to the back of the motor. Mm-hmm. Your drive shaft goes into this tail shaft here,
yep.
right? And that goes out to your differential, which transmits the power out to the wheels,
yep.
okay? And that's your basic configuration. However, this is set up for an EFI system.
Correct.
Which means electronic fuel injection, correct? And what does this box do right here? here?
So this not only does the basic fundamentals of controlling this transmission, it can change everything from shift points, the timing, when you want it to shift at a cruising throttle, at a wide open throttle. It will change the transmission pressures internally. You can make them harder, firmer, like I mentioned. You can make them softer. You can have different modes. There are buttons that literally can come with these things. Let's see, here's a button. It's over here on the table. So there are buttons you can literally mount, much like what you get in factory production vehicles. This is all aftermarket componentry, but you can get these billet aluminum buttons that look beautiful when they're installed. You can mount them in sight, you can mount them hidden, but you do want ease of access. So if you had two different tunes, for example, you wanted to have a cruise tune where you're out cruising around, you can set that as, you know, tune A, which would be just the main position of the button. Every time you get in to start that car, it defaults to tune A. And then if you wanted to go into like a full strip you set up or into a racing application, you can set a totally different tune, push that button, and it will change everything about what this transmission does by literally the push of a button.
Ironically, Bub, I see right here you have the CompuShift instructions. One of the things you're very known for is your research work, and it says right here, this quick install guide gives you an overview, but please refer to the owner's manual online at www.blah-blah-blah for complete details.
Yeah.
So again, you're out there doing all of your homework and
research. These are, you know, these are super great transmissions. This is the 4L80E. It's an electronic setup. There was a time when these things were cable operated. That's when you go back to the early model, say, Turbo Hydro 400s, man, which were back in, I think, like 1953 was the very first one that came out.
Was the 400 that? Yes, it was.
Super
it would
old,
have
man.
Been, yeah.
Yeah, super old. You know, those things started off, you saw them a lot in Rolls Royces back then, was a three-speed automatic cable operated, so it did not have any adjustments in terms of the pressure internally of the transmission, unless you were doing it with servos, you were doing it with different spring rates, unless you were doing it with different solenoids. So you could literally do all these different changes to it. But back then, they were cable operated, for example, like your passing gear. They were very, very easy to set those things up. You stuck them in, you bolted them into the car. Typically, you saw them a lot in, you know, Camaros, Chevelles, Novas, three-speed automatics, everything that GM produced. They were used all the way across the board, Pontiac, all the General Motors line, as well as branching out to others. Like I mentioned, Rolls-Royce, they actually use them a lot, and it actually has on the bottom of those Rolls-Royces, you see a division of GMC.
Really?
So they're always stamped like that, and it was a strong transmission, man. There's guys today still building cars that are taking them back to that three-speed automatic transmission because they were so stout and so strong and heavy duty. It gave you three gears if that's what you wanted. These give you four forward gears. So there are a lot of progression along the way. This is a 4L80. This was started in 91, was the first year of this transmission, and it went up to 13. It was used in everything from Chevrolet pickups, GMC pickups, vans, I mean, anything you can imagine, but typically meant for heavyweight vehicles. These things in their factory form, good for 18,000 foot-pounds of gross vehicle weight.
Wow.
Whether it be the vehicle and a trailer combo behind it, that's what these things were rated for from the factory, which is pretty solid, man.
Wow. From GM. Good morning to Dean Dogliero. Good morning, Dean. Good morning to Robert Jason Martinez. Good morning, Robin. Tell us where you guys are from. Mark Hoffman, the BEM dirt track driver, says, hope Santa Paul's visited my four-legged buddy. Absolutely, he sure did. In fact, it was crazy at the Lloyd household this weekend or over the Christmas holidays. We even lost a glass table keeping up with the Paul Sr. and Paul Jr., the Tuttles up there in Newburgh, New York, when they were breaking things as well. Good morning, Larry Williams. We hope in our heart that you're feeling better out there. And good morning, Mr. Wayne Varley, the legend of small tire racing from the gold car.
Yep.
How about that, Bub? You were doing some work with the gold car yesterday. The gold car was being featured as part of our shoot yesterday.
That's right.
We're having a lot of fun with it. Bub, a lot of people today in street and strip applications, maybe not so much today, but previously a lot of people were using what they called a slip and slide or a two-speed transmission. Mm-hmm. It was a General Motors transmission that was used in the earlier vehicles.
Yeah,
and it
typically
was only
called
two speeds.
Like power glides. Yeah.
Power glide transmissions. Yeah. That's the word I was looking for. What is the difference between, say, something like this on a race or strip application, even a street application, versus the old two-speed power glide trannies?
Okay, so that's gonna open a can of worms for everyone out there, because there is every person. There are some old school guys that have their old school ways, and there are new school guys that have new school ways, and every one of those preferences is perfectly fine. Some guys prefer that two-speed power glide where it's just forward gears, 2 gears going all the way down that strip. That's typically great for cars that are doing that quarter mile driving, making really fast times. You can build the crap out of those transmissions. You can get upgraded cases. You can get upgraded internals for these things, billet aluminum, titanium. You can get anything it is you can imagine for those, because they've been around not only for so long. Remember, those things started back in like the earlier Cadillacs and Impalas.
Yeah, man.
So, you know, they had great long gears to them because they were two very long gears. You put that with a nice rear gear in the rear and you'll get down a track real quick, and they've got strength to them. So there's an old school way that people do it, but then there's also a new school way that maybe you've got a, let's say, I don't know, Corvette, Camaro, anything like that. You have this transmission in it already. Say you put on a twin turbo kit and you move it from the 450 horse mark, the factory rated in that area, up to 1200, 1300. Well, the stock's not going to be able to handle that. So you can literally work with your factory transmission, take it out, send it off to either guys like us here at BEM, Bubba's Exotic Motorsports, or you can have other great brands out there, TCI, Monster, B&M. There's so many different companies out there in today's world that are all selling quality products. So you can literally buy full internal kits with these things, upgraded clutches, Kevlar. You can get titanium and billet aluminum solenoids on it so they don't overheat, they don't crack under pressure. And you can build these things up using that stock stuff. So maybe you like exactly what yours does as it is out of the gate, say 2010 to 15 Camaro. You want to keep that exact transmission in it, so take it out, send it out, have it rebuilt, built up strong, and lay down that 1,200 horsepower, no problem.
And, Bub, these things will literally, these things meaning transmissions, whether it's a Ford, Chevrolet, Mopar, those things will literally take a beating if built right internally.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's, you know, if they're built properly, like anything, if it's built properly, you know, like the human body, if it's not strong in one area, not strong in another area, you're going to have something fail. And that's the same thing with everything, whether it be automotive related, electronic related, the size of wiring. We talk about that all the time. All kinds of stuff. You have different parameters that have to be built around it.
Interesting. Bob, we get a question here. How much horsepower can I add to my motor before I have to upgrade my transmission? And this gentleman is driving a 1996 Chevrolet S10. For those of you that don't know, the S10 is the smaller of the Chevrolet pickup trucks with the Vortec 4.3 liter. That is a six-cylinder that displaced as much engine as the 305 small block.
Yeah, those were you know, those were good trucks. I'm trying to think here. So 96, that probably would have been 4.3. That went into that Vortec style motor EFI. That was probably a 4L60E in that thing.
Yeah, I believe so.
Which was a pretty solid setup, man. Even two-wheel drive or four-wheel drive. Some of those things actually had an HD stamped on the cases of them, MD8s on the face of the bell housing up front, which actually meant for heavier duty.
MD8 was GM's production.
Heavy duty version of it, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, which you typically found. You found those a lot in trucks that people took, like C&K series trucks. They took those things, even some of the S10s, they took those transmissions a little heavier duty because sometimes they did tow. A lot of guys took those things out, changed the tail shaft on them to like a 5-bolt flange and put them in earlier model third gen Camaros because they were stronger. It still worked. The 4L60 was the successor to the 700R4, so there was a great benefit to that transmission. They're still electronically controlled. But man, I'll tell you what, those things, if it's done right, I mean, a 4L60E, those are good for stock off GM's floor, 350, 400 horsepower, depending on your drive style, how hard you're abusing the thing. Sometimes even more than that. It just depends on how you're driving it.
One of the things you just mentioned, Bub, was the Chevrolet C and K lines. Can you identify the difference between the C truck and the K truck?
Yeah, it's simple. It's you know, a lot of people got confused with that, always thinking it was different packages or whatever. It was nothing more than C series were two-wheel drive and K series was four-wheel drive trucks. So it would be the same transmission here. The difference would be at the back half here. The tail shaft would not be a tail shaft. It would be a transfer case.
That's where the transfer case bolts, and then they have a drive shaft that runs up front.
So if, you know, for like, let's say an end user, maybe a do-it-yourselfer, there's a guy at his house that's trying to do this on his back, probably not the funnest thing to do, but people do it all the time. It would be the difference of you get a transmission in, maybe you ordered it for a K-series. Well, you may have screwed up if you have a C-series. Maybe it's just you just didn't know. Not a big deal, but you do have to go through the hassle of changing out the tail shaft from your original over to your new setup and make sure that all of the length of the spline is all the same as well.
Should anybody get back into this tail shaft area, is there anything they need to be careful of, like needle bearings or anything like that falling apart?
Not so much so on the modern stuff. On the olders, yes, everything you took apart was something else. Man, especially dealing with like the Muncies and the manual transmissions like that, man, they take some time and some skill to learn how to work with them. But, you know, the modern stuff is just becoming so modular, man. It's, you can literally take it apart piece by piece, take it off at the rear, take it off at the front pump, and you can literally just start stripping this thing down and upgrade it yourself. The average guy can do this. Well, the average knowledgeable guy, if you have instructions and you are a skilled learner, reader, you can step by step without getting ADD jumping all around, so no chance you could do it.
I'm done. I'm out.
So if you were to be able to do that, you could lay this thing out in a nice 2 days' time, comfortably going slow and methodically, the average person could rebuild this. They're not that hard, as long as you have those step-by-step instructions and you have an understanding of what works, plus all the special tooling, C-clip pliers, you know, all the compression rings, everything you need to get this
those
done.
Those are fun. They work opposite of standard hands.
Yeah, man.
It's all over the place.
Especially every time you go to squeeze those things in, and then it freaking slips off, and the C-clip's just gone.
Yeah, it's gone. It's gone. Good morning to Frankie Pate out there. Frankie, love to know where you're from. And Roger Cameron Green Jr., right out of Detroit, Michigan. Good morning, Roger. And thank you for joining us here. We appreciate it on Doing It Bubba Style, the number one rated internationally syndicated daily motorsports podcast.
Yeah, and we got a question. I don't know if that question is from Mark Hoffman. What training was better, TH350 or TH400?
First of all, what does TH stand for?
Turbo-hydromatic. Those were GM's line. That was the TH. Typically, you saw TH-350, TH-400, TH700R-4. That's typically the way you would see those things, all identifying each model line. So the 350 was a cable-operated transmission. Like I mentioned earlier, that kickdown, that passing gear, when you would go wide open throttle, a lot of guys screwed this up with the 700R4s. Trust me, a lot of guys did, and they blew these things away like hotcakes.
You've
right?
seen it a million times.
So a TH350 was a cable-operated transmission. So when you would go full throttle, wide open throttle passing, maybe you're just out cruising around, you want to kick it from third gear down into second, even down to first, depending on your speed, you can go wide open throttle. There's a cable that would be on the side of the transmission. It would pull on the actual throttle linkage, carbureted EFI, doesn't matter what it is you're working with. Some guys still do them on EFI. It would pull, and at 100% throttle, that cable would be fully taut. There would be no slack in this thing at all, and it would pull the plunger out inside the valve body enough to pass you down into that next gear. That would be a Turbo Hydro 350. Great transmission, super solid. The difference between that and the 400 was it converted to an electronic kickdown. So under wide open throttle, it wasn't cable operated. It was electronic switch on the side of the transmission.
So, Bob, we also, Mark Hoffman is saying, don't forget the two-speed.
Mark, you must have missed that.
We already talked about that. Good morning to the world-renowned Black Ops, Travis Santa Cruz out there. He is an animal in the Pontiac Trans Am. Good morning, Travis. Merry Christmas to you and a very happy new year, my friend. But we're not just talking about GM transmissions. There are AOD transmissions from Ford. There are top loaders. What is this top loader? You hear guys walking around talking, top loader this, top loader that. What exactly
does it do? So that's just the design of the case of the transmission. There are transmissions that you can access componentry from the top side of them. There are some that you install from the top side. There are literally shifter mechanisms you can get on the top side. So many different things out there in terms of what component you're working with, what your build application is going to be is number one priority. What you are working with, what you're trying to do and achieve, that is where you have to start. Anytime you talk about transmissions, upgrades, or replacements, you want to know what the heck it is your end goal is. This transmission, rated for over 2,500 horsepower, this thing is actually built for an LS twin turbo car, so this thing is set and stout. It is ready to go. Fully built for that setup, and that's why we have two different shift modes on this thing. We can literally push a button, keep it on comfort and cruise, or you can go wide open throttle, serious race setup, which is going to be a night and day animal of a difference on this thing. You just have to know what you're trying to build. You want to know if you're trying to build a street strip car, if you're trying to build a street car in general, just a cruiser, something fun, but lays down good horsepower. Do you need all that extra room? A lot of people, when you call in to get transmissions built, I don't know what kind of transmission I need to get built here. Do I need a stock replacement? Do I need a rebuilt? Do I need factory brand new? Do I need a stage one? Everyone says stage one, stage two, stage three, stage. What the freak do those mean?
So what does that mean? Break that down for the layman. So what does a stage one, two, or three?
A lot of people think that, oh, I got a stage four. It's the best thing you can buy. Well, guess what? If you're only producing, say, 450, 500 horsepower, you're just wasting money. You're never going to touch what that transmission is capable of doing. It is great for guys. This is a stage four setup. This thing can't get built much more than it is. You can go stage five, which gets ignorant on these things, rated for much more than 4,000 horsepower.
Wow.
This thing, we didn't need it that high. You want to build for what you're doing, right? So we knew that this setup we were building was going to push that probably 1,800, 2,000 horsepower mark. We went with the 2,500 just to be safe in case we did bump that boost a little higher and get a little bit more out of it. So you want to make sure you're building your package for what you're doing. If you're just building a street car and you want a comfort cruiser, probably a rebuilt manufactured transmission would be perfectly fine. It's cheap, it's entry level, you don't need anything special. If you're not towing, you're not racing, you're not hauling, a rebuilt transmission unit would be perfectly fine. If you are looking at maybe, say, I don't know, some guys have these, you know, numbers matching cars. They want to keep them all factory. You know, maybe there's some rare C6 Corvette or something that's all numbers matching, some, you know, really rare edition or whatever it may be. I don't know, whatever the story is, you know how clients are.
Yes.
So maybe somebody just wants to keep it all exactly how it should be, but something started slipping, maybe something went bad. pull it out, you can send it out, we can rebuild them. There are many great companies, like I mentioned, that have factory components for them, also upgraded components, so you can keep that stock case, that numbers matching deal, but just have stronger internals in it. Anything you can imagine.
Travis Santa Cruz, the driver of the Black Ops car that just eats him up out there, he says, the hell with the Turbo Hydro 400, get a Turbo Glide. There it is, Bob. How about that? Good morning to Julia Murray Vogt. Love to know where she is. And Robert Jason Martinez. He's in Jupiter? She's in Julia? Julia, in Jupiter, in our backyard. You've never stopped by to say hi. The doors are always open to the family in the area. And Robert Jason Martinez up in Newark, New Jersey. Robert, you're probably dealing with some pretty cold temperatures up there, my friend, and some snow on the ground. There's good benefits to that. I can't think of any personally, but if you like everything to die, I guess it's okay, Bob.
Yeah, I guess so.
I guess up there, right?
So that's it, man. Hopefully we gave you guys a little bit of information on these things about transmissions. You have to know what it is you're trying to do.
I think that's, to know about these.
You know, that's the number one thing is knowing what it is you're trying to do. There's a lot of people out there that, you know, sometimes they get into things that, you know, we've talked about all the time. Is a bigger turbocharger always better? No. Is a smaller supercharger pulley always better so it's producing more boost and more speed? No. It's all about your application of what it is you're trying to build. Make sure you take the time and do the research of what it is you're trying to get to. You have to know what your end goal is in order to track that way to get to it. Don't just go and buy the most expensive thing you can. Sometimes it's not necessary.
So, Bob, that's correct. That's exactly right. What you're saying is always know where you're going. Always know what your end goal is and try not to fluctuate that much from it. Here at BEM, once you set it down on paper, that's where it stays. We don't need to fluctuate. It's the technology and the knowledge that you bring in your head that allows you to stay with it and give the client or yourself everything you want each and every time out of the box. And when it delivers, it's 100% done, and that's the end of it. Mark Hoffman says, what is an RWD? First of all, what is RWD, AWD, FWD? These are terms we hear thrown around in the industry. Can you please help us understand those?
Yeah, so that one, Mark, goes back just a little bit to what I referred to earlier. So GM, if you're referring to like GM-based cruisers and police cars, there was a time where they had these basic mass production transmissions that went down the line. Typically found them in just your run-of-the-mill stuff, like your basic 5.0 liter, your entry-level V8s, stuff that didn't produce serious horsepower at the time. You would get an upgraded transmission package when you did like heavy escort vehicles, you would do police vehicles, things that took a heavier beating, took more abuse. They would use what they would consider stamped an MD8 case. And that happens a lot. You also got that
which
in some of the Corvettes.
Is the stronger case.
Stronger case, okay. Yeah. There was, especially back then, man, there was a time where, I'll tell you what, dude, there was, you know, the cars, if you did the right bolt-ons, between like the early mid 80s going into early 90s, there was a time where literally these bell housings, if you did, you know, long tube headers, if you did a supercharger, if you did something to it, you could literally crack these bell housings. I mean, that's how weak they were. So they structurally got them stronger. And that was a big part of that MD8 was getting, you know, GM's 700R4 upgraded version, even in the 4L60s, was getting something heavier duty. That's all it truly is a heavier duty package, just can handle a little bit more of abuse, but still not a crazy amount. You start getting into heavy bolt-ons, even power adders, superchargers, turbochargers, you're gonna end up taking that power and going all the way down the line, whether it be transmission, automatic or manual, drive shaft, whether you go from a stock steel, that's a heavy, really, really, I mean, a lot of weight it's gotta rotate around there. You wanna go to a lighter mass, you wanna go to either a carbon or aluminum setup, all the way back into the rear end. A lot of cars didn't come with a posi traction. Some came with a limited slip, some were just a conventional. So you upgrade from the front all the way down to the back, and that's why we always start building all of our cars at the camshaft, the heart of that motor, and we build all the way back from there.
That's the way you do it. So that answers it. But one question that Mark Hoffman, the BEM official dirt track driver, brings forward is, let's identify three terms, RWD.
So that would be rear-wheel drive, just like FWD, you have front-wheel drive, and then AWD is all-wheel drive.
All-wheel drive. Yep. So an all-wheel drive, what would typically, this is a rear-wheel drive setup. Mm-hmm. We know if we wanted a four-wheel drive setup, or the K-Series, as we've learned through you, we have a, what do they call it? A
transfer case here.
Transfer case bolted here with a drive shaft that runs forward into a differential that looks much like a rear differential, right? And what about an all-wheel drive setup? How does that come together?
So that would very much be almost identical. That's just a matter of the way the transfer case operates here, going off to the front wheels itself.
Mm-hmm. Mark's got another question.
Okay, so you're saying, so how does that set up on the transmission itself, Bob?
So transmission-wise, it's fairly going to be the same. Most of the part is going to be different at the back tail shaft area. If you're referring to a rear wheel going into an all-wheel drive platform, you will have an additional transfer case. You will have a front drive shaft, a rear drive shaft, and you will have axles on the front and rear side as well.
And those applications are typically best for inclement weather areas, quick sticking to the road.
Yeah, you know, they did that, you know, GM in particular, man, they did a lot with like the SS series trucks, you know, the Trailblazer SSs, the, you know, the 1500 SSs that were like 04 to 06 in that range somewhere. They did a lot with that all-wheel drive platform. It was a great setup, man, but I'll tell you, even like the Denalis, you know, they did those all-wheel drive all time. Man, they were killer on gas, dude, not economical at all.
12 miles to the gallon, yeah.
You know, and that was in factory application. You started doing power adders and modifications there, and it just went down even worse. Mm-hmm. And that was just a very poor time for GM, I think, was a lot of people that were getting these vehicles that they wanted to use for like the weather, like you're saying, up north, they needed something that was all-wheel drive in the snow. It stuck really well, but when you would compare that to, I don't know, something like a smaller version of that vehicle would be like an all-wheel drive Subaru, right? So a lot of people went that direction because it was very economical, but still gave you all that traction and handling you needed.
Interesting how it applies to both things. Mark Hoffman would like to know, Bub, what is the a date of the, hold on one second, go back.
Oh, please.
He says, Tom, what is the date of the February Cars and Coffee? He's trying to show up. This would be a good time for everybody to meet the BEM dirt track driver, Mr. Mark Hoffman himself, with eight consecutive wins coming out of Maryland, that on January 21st at the Palm Beach Outlet Mall. It is the Guinness World Record holding largest Cars and Coffee event. We will be having the 405 boys join us as well. Mark Hoffman says, another thought was the annual Rolex 24 Hours of Daytona. It's the stress test for what you see on the street and strip today when it comes to entire engine, tranny, and rear combos, Bob.
Well, I'll tell you what, man, it's you know, that's really tricky, too. If you're not a complex builder, if you're not up to today's standards, you're not going to last on a 24-hour Rolex. But I'll tell you what, man, a lot of today's components, it's hard to get out there and break those suckers, man.
It really is.
You know, when
man.
You're working with today's technology, it's you get out there and you run them, and it's just not a problem at all.
It used to be such a test of man and endurance.
Oh, yeah. Some people wouldn't make it 3 hours.
That's exactly right.
Cars would overheat. There were problems that were, you know, pieces and components letting go, you know, cooling systems that couldn't handle it. And today, you get all of that R&D's done, mass production. Now, you could take a brand new Corvette and stick it out there and run it 10 times more than the average $100,000 track car that most people have put their life savings into.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly right. Yep. GM has brought it. Ford has brought it. Mopar with the Hellcats has brought it full circle, man.
Yep.
You can be the average guy at $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 and go out and run what people were spending just 10 years ago in the six digits to build. Bub, let's talk one last thing before we jump out of here. I know this has been kind of an informational show for everybody. It's like we like to do, very technical. Although we can't answer all of the specifics in every episode, you can still email us questions later at sales@bubbasexoticmotorsports.com. sales@bubbasexoticmotorsports.com. If I can't answer them, which is often the case, I can get to Bub's desk and have him provide me an answer. Bub, what about general maintenance on these? Usually it's every 60,000 miles you want to get in here and change that fluid. We all know everybody's guilty of not doing it quite that often.
Of course.
What do we do?
So every one of these things, typically when you buy them, whether it be in a brand new vehicle, whether it be in an aftermarket trans built like this, all of them will come with their suggested flushes, services, cleansing, filter replacement, whatever it is you need to do. These things are typically getting pretty hefty on their mileage nowadays. Some cars up to 75, maybe even 100,000 miles before you even consider looking at them internally, going through them. And again, it all depends on your drive style. Are you out abusing the crap out of it, or are you babying this thing every day, just cruising it 4 miles a day? That thing won't get 10,000 miles on it over, you know, 8 years,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
So it all depends on your drive style. Make sure that you know what the recommendations are. And you know what? It's not that expensive to go through and stay ahead of the curve. Make sure you get the stuff done versus waiting till you have a problem and it's slipping, you've burnt something inside, and you're redoing the entire system.
That, in fact, I think you made a good point earlier. Today's shops like AMCO and things like that are kind of falling by the wayside because two things have happened. The cost point to get a brand new transmission has crossed over and intersected with what it would cost to pull it and rebuild it, number one.
Yeah.
So you pay less because the labor is faster to move through to a newer transmission.
It definitely is, yeah. It's much quicker nowadays to just replace a transmission than it is to go through. If you've got one sitting on a shelf like this one, for example, if we had, say, like a 2000 Corvette in here right now that needed this transmission that had this type of power, we could literally put the car on the lift, you could pull the transmission out, get everything swapped over on it, get all the drivetrain switched over like it should be, and you could put this thing right back in there in a matter of hours versus a couple day period where you've got to take it apart, find out what's going wrong, order the pieces, push the car off the lift because it's costing you money.
How
just
about
sitting
that?
There.
Yeah, that's great.
You've got to push it back in, so it takes manpower to do that. So it's just a whole process versus out of the box, stick the thing in and roll. It's just generating money. It's being not only easy for us, but also for the client at the end of the day. Like I said, if there's a do-it-yourselfer, maybe he doesn't have the skill set to rebuild it. He takes it out of his house to save him a little labor. Then he's got to drive the thing and tote it around somewhere to get somebody else to rebuild the thing. Maybe 50-50 chance of it getting rebuilt correctly anymore in today's world, being honest. And then he goes back to his house, he lays on his back and sticks this thing back in. Just the whole process is drawn out if you don't have one on standby ready to go.
Exactly. But we're going to wrap this segment up for Thursday.
Yep.
We're getting close to New Year's. That's kind of an exciting thing, too. We appreciate everybody from around the world joining us, from Detroit, Michigan, to Newark, New Jersey, to California, to Santa Cruz, Texas. Travis Santa Cruz out there. I mean, everybody everywhere out there joining us. I know it's a holiday week and a lot of people are off. So what again, Mr. Producer?
We've had people from Thailand, Nicaragua.
From Thailand, Nicaragua. By the way, it's kind of interesting. We had a set of tires, Nitto tires, ordered from Australia, we found out today.
We did. This is true.
Pretty cool, right?
Yep. So you guys stay tuned for what we got going. We've got some Instagrams that are going to be posting up here later on this afternoon. Rolling into that new year, there are going to be serious sales on the site, so stay tuned. Bubba'sExoticMotorsports.com. 20% off full wheel and tire packages right now. Literally, they can either be done, mounted, balanced, and installed here at the facility in Jupiter, Florida, if you are local, or they can be literally shipped up on a pallet, sent to you, tire pressure monitors, if newer vehicle. You can literally take these things out, saran wrap them, stick them on, and ride.
And, Bub, I want to mention to everybody that we can't get to all the questions that that people have about the transmissions themselves. We welcome people to send their questions in to us. We will help from a technical perspective.
Yep.
I always take time, no matter how many questions we get, to answer everybody. And if you have a topic you'd like to see us address on the show,
yep.
sales@bubbasexoticmotorsports.com.
Bub, that's it.
Until tomorrow.
Just keep on doing it, Bubba style.
Ladies and gentlemen, this episode has been brought to you by Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. That's Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. For all the latest in online fashion, apparel, accessories from Bubba's Exotic Motorsports, please visit us out there. You'll also hit our social media. A lot of great things happening with the new website out there. It's pretty amazing. Miss Outlaw Boutique, the Moose is Loose in Abacoa, Florida, ladies and gentlemen. Miss Outlaw Boutique, 1200 Town Center Drive, Suite 108, 561-660-6695. By Monster Energy. Monster Energy is energy done Bubba style in its red, white, and blue configuration. We bleed American here, ladies and gentlemen. Gotta admit, man, President Trump's done a great job with ISIS out there, huh? Ladies and gentlemen, done a good job. Can't deny it. Ladies and gentlemen, let's reach out to touch somebody's life in a very positive manner today. Open the doors for somebody who's got their hands full. Shoe somebody who's got holes in the bottom of their shoes. Or feed somebody who's hungry. For God's sakes, it's cheap just to get McDonald's hamburgers. And you'll make them a whole lot better for another day. We appreciate everybody welcoming us into their hearts and their homes. I can't tell you how humbled we are by that and how much we love all of you for being part of the Bubba's Exotic Motorsports family. Mr. Hoffman, thank you. Travis Santa Cruz, thank you. Wayne Varley, thank you. Everybody out there, thank you so much. Until tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, let's keep on doing it. Let me hear you. That's it, Bubba style. Come on, Bob, let's grab something to eat.